Well, continuing reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 10, Madhya Kanda, Lord Chaitanya's conclusion of the Mahaprakash Leela. He's speaking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Mukunda Das. And yesterday, we heard how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying Mukunda by telling him that prema bhakti dila kanta swari, that I have given you, I have put pure love in your voice, in your throat. So now he's continuing today. Jatta deka ache mora vaishnava mandal shunile tomaragan dravaye sakal. Mahaprabhu said, in glorification of Mukunda Das, the hearts of all the Vaishnavas melt while hearing your singing. Javaya Sakal, Vaishnava Mandal, the Vaishnava Mandal. As all the devotees of Vishnu who follow me hear your devotional songs, the hardness in their hearts softens. Mahaprabhu is glorifying the singing of Mukunda Das, how beautiful it is and how sweet it is and how effective it is. Not only is it very sweet to hear, but his voice is full of prema. And when that prema-filled voice or that prema-filled gan or sangeet goes in the ears of the Vaishnavas and enters their heart, it melts their heart. It says Dravaya. It says here, Gan Dravaye Sakala. Tomara Gan Dravaye Sakala. Everyone's heart becomes melted by hearing that's your bhajan. Amaraje Manatumi Valaba Ekanta E Matahao Tore Sakala Mahanta. You are extremely dear to me. May you become similarly dear to all the Vaishnavas. You have become dear to me because of your pure, unalloyed devotional service. Now you may also become similarly dear to my devotees. This is Lord Chaitanya's glorifying Mukunda Das. But we also see in our contemporary society of devotees, if one devotee becomes very dear to the Lord, and he renders very wonderful service to the Lord, then that devotee also becomes dear to the assembly of devotees. And I can see, anyone can see, not only myself, but in this community, there's several devotees that come to mind that have rendered very wonderful, unalloyed, pure devotional service to Radha Madhav. And these devotees, as a result of that unalloyed service to Radha Madhav, they've also become very dear to the members of this community. I think everyone can understand that Jananivas and Pankajangri, for the last 37 years have been serving, rendering unalloyed service to Radha Madhav, what to speak of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. And as a result of their unalloyed service to Thakurji, to Radha Madhav, then these devotees are very dear to all the Vaishnavas, especially the Vaishnavas here. What I see is that, I mean, I've been coming here for so many years, and it's been a long time, but I used to come every summer to Jananivas because they're here 12 months of the year, and Pankajangri, they're like everyone's friend, they're everyone's father, everyone's mother, everyone's friend, everyone's teacher, everyone's guru, everyone's advisor. They're like second mothers and fathers to all the children of Mayapur. They're like second husbands and wives to all the devotees here. And they're like second or first shiksha and diksha gurus. I don't know if they give diksha, but they're shiksha gurus to everyone here. And they're beloved. Everyone loves them because they're pure. And they're rendering unalloyed devotional service. So we read the Shastra. And the Shastras are about living personalities. He who reasons ill, who say that Vaishnavas die while thou art living still and sound. And while living, try to spread the holy name all around. So the Vaishnavas are eternal. Nitya Parishad. They live eternally. The Lord lives eternally. But history is always going on. History is right now. We are history. Today becomes tomorrow's history. Right? Whatever we do today becomes tomorrow's history. So the devotees of today will become the historical figures of the future. So it's not an exaggeration what I'm saying, that we're reading the Shastra Praman. But Shastra takes a very profound shape when we see the living examples of Shastra. Because the Shastras are about devotees and about the Lord and their interactions and exchanges. But the Lord is always here on this planet, and devotees are always here. We can read about devotees and the Lord, their exchanges, their appreciation, their gratitude, their love for one another. And then we can see amongst ourselves the exchanges between the Lord and his devotees. How we look around amongst ourselves and we see, oh, this Vaishnavi or this Vaishnava, they're really surrendered. They're really dedicated. They're really absorbed in service. And I see that the Lord is reciprocating with them. They're becoming detached. They're becoming happy. They're becoming joyful. They're becoming fulfilled. They're becoming enlightened. In short, they're becoming spiritually advanced. I see it if I have clear eyes, free from envy. I can see, as they say in America, I can see the handwriting on the wall. Sometimes they write graffiti. They write some slogans on the wall. In Vrindavan, they also have this type of graffiti, transcendental graffiti, handwriting on the wall. And what do they write on the walls in Vrindavan? Radhe Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jai Sri Krishna. When it first started, about, I don't know, 15 years ago or something, one sadhu was doing that. He would only write Radhe Radhe. He was prejudiced to Radharani. He would never write Krishna. And then he started writing Radhe Shyam and then Jai Sri Krishna. He became more compassionate to Krishna. So now, also you see Krishna's name occasionally, Jai Sri Krishna or Jai Radha Krishna. So it becomes obvious in the Vaishnav Mandal, as Vrindavan Das Thakur is describing, he uses very beautiful phrases in Bengali to describe the Vaishnavas. Throughout the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he uses different phrases. Sometimes he says, Sakala, Sakala Bhaktagan, all the group of devotees, like we have Sakhigan or Bhaktagan. Sometimes he says the Vaishnav Mandala. Vaishnav Mandala, the Bhaktagan. He uses different terms to describe that same group of devotees. So here he's saying the Vaishnav Mandala. And we have Ras Mandala, Kirtan Mandala, or Kirtan Mandali. The Vaishnav Mandala. So in the circle of Vaishnavas, Mukunda became famous for his beautiful kirtan and his unalloyed devotional service. So this is how someone, in a Vaishnav community, this is how someone attains fame. They don't attain fame because of their power, or their money, or their beauty, or their wealth, or their influence. One attains fame in a community of Vaishnavas, in a Vaishnav mandala. One becomes famous because of his quality of service. His attitude, his surrendered attitude of service, that distinguishes him or her and makes them famous. Famous in the eyes of God. Yashoda Nandan. The devotee becomes famous and Krishna glorifies that devotee. So it's very encouraging to live in a community of devotees. Because we see amongst us, we see Prakriti Vaishnavas, or Vaishnav Praya, We see Kanishtha Vaishnavas, Madhyams, Uttams. We see all different levels and different adhikars and eligibilities and levels of devotees. And we can measure ourselves amongst the devotees. Like some devotee was saying the other day, he said, I have difficulty. It was a new bhakta. He said, I have great difficulty with anger, crowed. He works in some office here, some seva in some office. And he becomes angry. What to do? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or rather Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, says we should use anger against ourselves. We should say, why, I'm living here in this community, there's so many advanced devotees, why am I not advanced? I see so many surrendered devotees here, why am I not surrendered? We should be angry with ourselves. Why am I so lazy? Why am I not surrendered? Oh, this devotee is learning so many verses, this devotee is so serious about coming to the program, why am I not serious? So we should direct our anger towards ourselves. Be angry at ourselves. Why am I not advancing? Why am I not surrendered? Why am I not dedicated? Why am I not... Oh, this devotee is controlling his senses. He's getting some higher taste, some ruchi in bhakti. So he's able to control his senses. What about me? Oh, these senses. Angry at ourselves. Instead of directing anger towards... I mean, the obvious use of anger, which Nectar Devotion tells us, is to use anger against the offenders. If someone tries to offend the devotees or to offend the Lord, then we should direct our anger towards them. Beat them, chastise them, correct them. But if you look at this Nectar Devotion teaching, we should use anger against the enemies of the Lord, the non-devotees. But wait a minute, I'm also an enemy of the Lord. We should use anger against those that are envious, or the demons, like the Ravanas. Hanuman uses anger against Ravana because he stole Sita. So that's proper use of anger. To use anger against the demon or against the offender to the devotees or the offender to the Lord. But then we have to think, oh, where is that demon? Wait a minute. Hey, you hold up a mirror. Hey, the demon's right here in the mirror, in the dharpan. I am that demon. I am an enemy to the Lord. I am an enemy of the Lord. I am an enemy of the devotees. I should beat myself. I am not a loving, humble servant of the Vaishnavas. I am not a loving, humble servant of the Lord. I'm a proud, independent, puffed up enjoyer. Disguised as a peacock I'm a crow wearing peacock feathers. I'm disguising myself and moving amongst the peacocks, but actually I'm a crow. Like the story in Hitopadesh about the jackal. And everyone knows the story of the jackal who became the king of the forest. The jackal was moving somewhere around ISKCON Mayapur. Many jackals. I heard last night, I was up about 10:30 at night. I forgot, because we don't have jackals in Vrindavan. At least those kind of jackals. Two-legged jackals. But it was like 10:30 at night, and I heard all these babies crying. It sounded like babies crying. Ow, 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 ow. You sleep soundly. The brahmacharis, they're used to this kind of singing every night. But to me, I hear, when I go to bed at night, I hear peacocks and, ow, 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 meow, ow, ow. I say, oh, what is this? A crying sound. 10:30, 11, 12, they start their kirtan. It's like we have Sankirtan, and then we have a joke in Radhakund. The Hindi word for dog is kuta. Kuta. You say kukur. Kukur. We say kuta. So there's Sankirtan by human beings. But when many dogs get together, in the full moon and they start barking, it's called Sankutan. Right? Kuta. Sankutan. Sankirtan and Sankutan. Or you can say Sankukurtan. Kukur. Sankukurtan. Many dogs barking. Haribo, Haribo. So I heard this jackal's crying. I thought, oh, What is this? It sounds like, you ever heard these jackals at night? It sounds like babies. Wow, wow, wow. Wailing. It's ghoulish, horrible sound. At any rate, Mukunda Das is Kantaswara. Oh, this is some fireworks display. India is always some sideshow in India. There's always the main show and always the sideshow, and usually the sideshow is much more interesting than the main show. When I was giving classes in Kartik at my ashram in Radhakund, and then I had like 20, 30 devotees there sitting on the lawn. And then my chokidar would be going around the garden doing things, and everyone would be looking at the chokidar. What's he doing now? And cutting some hedges or something. Because you never know what to expect in India. Sparks, fires. It's a very exciting environment. It can change in a second. It's a transcendental environment. Don't breathe. Just now you stay there for 1 hour. So Mahaprabhu is giving a blessing. He's saying, Amara Jemana Tumi Balaba Ekanta E Matahautari Sakala Mahanta. You are very dear to me, Mukunda. And I'm so pleased and happy with your unalloyed service. I want to give you a blessing. May you become dear to all the Vaishnavas. So this is the Lord. The Lord, he's very happy with Mukunda's service, and he wants all the other devotees to also think of him as a dear devotee. Jekane, Jekane, hai mora avatar, tatai ghayana tumi haibe amar. Mahaprabhu said, Mukunda, whenever I incarnate, you will accompany me as my singer. You are my eternal companion, and you always sing for me. Wherever I incarnate, you will appear as my associate to sing the glories of Hari. So the Lord's devotees are always accompanying the Lord to do their particular seva. Whatever their nitya seva is, they will do that whenever the Lord appears. Of course, Mukunda Das and Krishna Leela, Mukunda Das is Brindadevi. We don't read so many accounts of Brindadevi singing, but she certainly provides all the arrangements for other devotees to sing and perform for the Lord. Because Brindadevi arranges for the pastimes of the Lord, the Leela Shakti, she assists, especially in Rasa Dance. In the Rasa Dance in the Vamshivat or in Chandra Sarovara, Rasastali, Brindadevi, she has these go-downs. Some kunjas, where she keeps all the saman, she keeps all the instruments. Pakawaj, Mardanga, Kartal, some stringed instruments, I don't know, Ektar or Esaraj, different stringed instruments, and some gongs and different types of musical instruments. And when it's time for the Rasa Dance, then Brindadevi unlocks the kunja, you can say treasury or whatever, storehouse. She takes out all the instruments and she gives them to the different sakis and gopis who play in the Rasa Dance. So she's assisting the dance and the music performance at the Rasa Dance. But I've never read any specific description that Brindadevi, who is Mukunda Das, is actually singing for the Lord, but she's certainly connected with the musical performances. So now, of course, this is all going on, this glorification. Mahaprabhu is singling out Mukunda Das, and they're having this exchange. It's happening in Shivasangam, a few hundred meters from here. And all the devotees are there, hundreds of devotees are there observing this wonderful exchange. So then there must be some response from their side. Oftentimes when I read Shastra, and I thought I would suggest it to you, is that in order to become absorbed, and I've discussed some points already about absorption, but one thing I'd like to do is, because we're so much oriented towards cinematography and movies, and we grow up with television and movies and video and all these things, so we're and even what to speak of three-dimensional virtual reality, all these kind of computer programs, we should become a director. When we read Shastra, we should become like a director. We should pretend the Shastra is a movie. It's a documentary. It's now time documentary. It's actually eternal reality. And we should, if we were watching this, if we're reading the medium of this, books means we're reading them, but we should enter into the story. Now try to enter into the story like a director, or like a filmmaker. And so if you were watching this, there would be different cameras. There would be a camera based on our own experience of watching television and movies. Not that any of us are directors. I'm not a director. I know nothing about making movies. But we watch television, or we have, or movies, and we see there's a camera. One camera is on Lord Chaitanya. There's another camera on Mukunda. There's another camera panning the audience, which is all the Vaishnavas, the Vaishnava Mandala. So the Mahaprabhu will say something, so the camera's on his face, and he's making some facial expressions, and he's speaking. Then the next scene you see is Mukunda's face and how he's receiving those words of Lord Chaitanya and how he's responding. And then maybe they pan the audience and what they're saying, oh, or how they're responding. So this, to try to enter into it from a different level, from this, the level we're reading, we're thinking, and we're trying to see, and then try to film it also, as if you were filming it. And then now you're seeing the face of Lord Chaitanya. What are facial expressions? What are his bhavas? What are his moods? What are the moods of Mukunda? What are the moods of all the devotees? So this kind of visual aspect, entering into the Shastra in this way, through the camera of the mind, will actually help us become more absorbed and more deeply involved with the scene and the feelings of the scene. Just like everyone knows how engrossed and how absorbed someone can become in a movie. You're watching a movie some movie about Nityananda or whatever pastimes of Gauranga or Mahabharat. There's sound, there's color, there's feelings, there's motion, there's movements. And so it captures all your senses. Your ears are captured, your eyes are captured, your mind is captured. Practically, you really become, and then the emotional exchanges and the voices and the music, the violins going in the background, the heavy drums, and it starts to move your heart. Different notes on the scale, they play different chords and notes, and they vibrate, they have vibration, and they move your body, and they move your emotions in a certain way, because as we are hearing in class, Maharaj was saying our body is made of prakriti, and it interacts with the modes of nature according to our destiny and the modes of nature. So the music and all this is moving our body and minds, and the dialogue, the hero said this, the heroine said that, we identify with the hero or the heroine. And then we're identifying with Draupadi. And we're identifying with her. And we're sympathetic to her plight. And we're watching Mahabharat. And Dushasana and Shakuni, they're pulling her sari off. And she's crying, oh, Govinda. And then the soft-hearted devotees, especially maybe ladies, and they start crying. They're only watching a movie. It's only some light. A movie is only some light in a screen, in a monitor, but the ladies are soft-hearted devotees are crying. Oh, Draupadi's in such a terrible plight, and they feel so much emotionally moved. They're actually crying. So this is rasa. Of course, this is material rasa, but we're experiencing something, and there's transformation happening, and tears are coming, and maybe trembling or choking of the voice. This is the experience. It's called natya. Natya Shastra, the science of rasa. We experience these things. So, unfortunately, there's no movie about Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's no movie of Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Mango. There's no movie of Srimad Bhagavatam. But we should be the director. As readers, we should enter into the Shastra, into the stories like movie directors, and try to pan in on the scene and visualize the faces and the audience and try to see the three-dimensional aspect of the stories we're reading. Not just some white paper and black ink and a few sentences, and we try to think about it. We actually see it. Film film the particular chapter in your mind. It's Kardama Muni and it's Devahuti. And what does she look like when you see the paintings in the Bhagavatam? And then when we read, we try to imagine, and their dialogue is like this, and he's looking like this. It becomes very absorbed. It's a matter of becoming absorbed in Shastra. And it comes to a point, as we advance in spiritual life, that just as absorbed as people become in movies, modern-day movies, we can become that absorbed in Shastra. Not distracted, not... Someone can call our name, they can shout our name, hey, come, Prasad. We won't even hear them. We won't even hear what they're saying. This type of absorption can be there. And this we should pray for. But we have to practice, we can try, increasing our absorption in Shastra. It's just a side point. Because this is what's happening. So the Lord says, every time I incarnate, whenever I descend to this world, you will come with me and you will be my singer. In other words, this is Nitya Seva. Every devotee has some Nitya Seva, some Seva that they will do eternally for the Lord. And when one gets from Guru, one gets Ekadash Bhav, or at the very high level of Asakti or Bhav, a qualified disciple will receive from his Guru the revelation of his Siddhadeha. And one of the symptoms of the Siddhadeha, the 11 symptoms, Ekadash means 11, right? Ekadash or Ekadashi. The Bhavas, the emotions, the Sevas, is the Seva, the Nitya Seva. Although we may do any number of services, there will be one particular service that we very expertly and regularly do for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, or Krishna Balaram, depending on our stahibhav, our permanent loving relationship with the Lord. For example, one service may be to prepare tambul. Tambul means pan, some betel nut and some chuna, limestone, and some katechu, sometimes coconut or kishmish, alaga alaga spices, and long, and all these things, and pan leaf. Tambul. Tambul batika. And that's your seva. But you may make garlands and do so many other sevas according to agya, according to guru agya. Guru may give order. Or your service may be chamara. Fanning with chamara. So Mukunda Das, his nitya seva is gan, singing. Bhajan gan, singing. Singing for the Lord. Praying-filled bhajans and kirtans. When Rathiatra, when everyone goes to Rathiatra for 4 months to attend the Chaturmasya and attend Rathiatra in Puri, Mukunda also goes and he leads one of the kirtan parties and the 7 kirtan parties around Jagannath's cart. Right? There's one each side, that's 3 and 4 in the front. There's 7 kirtan parties. So he leads one of those because he's a singer. That's his, wherever he goes. He goes to Puri, he sings. He's in Navadvipa, he sings. He's in the spiritual world, he sings. If the Lord comes again, then he sings. So this predilection or this liking to do one particular service is actually a very good thing to develop. Just imagine if Madhav were to give us Sakshat Darshan, Madhavji, Thakurji. He said, oh, Krishnadas, what one service, would you like to render? Of course, it comes from his side, what he wants, but hypothetically say, because Guru will give the service, Krishna will dictate to Guru, what is the desired service that Krishna wants from us, then Guru will reveal that at the time of Siddha Pranali or Ekadash Bhav. But say, for example, if Lord Madhav came before us and asked us, what one service would you like to render for my pleasure eternally? Just imagine. What will we answer? Computers? Computer programming? Designing the new temple? I don't know. Maybe it's possible. You can do that eternally. Design a new temple eternally. Somewhere, new temple in some other universe. So like this, we can think. We might say, I don't know. I mean, I like so many things. But alright, so take some time, think about it. One service eternally. We'll do so many other services also. But if you see, whenever you see the Diksha Patra, in one of the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's a Diksha Patra that shows his Diksha line of all of his different gurus and what is their name in this world and what is their name in Gaur Leela, what is their name, their Mandri name, and what is their seva. So in these Diksha Patras, each guru and his Param Guru and Parataraguru, all the way up to the Janamata Birchandra Advaita, etc., they all have their one service that they render. So this is a feature, an aspect of the spiritual world. Everyone has a speciality. Even here, we look at this assembly of devotees in the Mayapur community. Is everyone doing the same service? No. So many different services are there. Even there's variety here. And that will be your what we call your main service. You may offer Mangal Artik once a week. You may lead the Kirtan once a week. You may cook a Didi offering one day a week. Or so many services. Go on Sankirtan, book distribution. But there's a main service that we do. So the same thing as here, so there. So think about it. What is Mukunda's main service is singing. He's a singer. So this shows the fact that devotees have main service. So we should consider, or maybe cultivate, at least in our meditation. Well, we may do some others. My main service right now is taking care of my children. I may be a mother. So my main service is family maintenance and husband and children. So that doesn't go on in the spiritual world because there's no children. Haribo. That's a great, great blessing. Great good news. There's no children in the spiritual world. All fathers and mothers should be glad to hear that. If you want to you want husbands and wives, you can go to Vaikuntha. There's husbands and wives there. There's also husbands and wives in Vrindavan. There's no children. So, we can think about that, and you can think what service you'd like to render. Mukundere eta jari varadana koila maha jaya jaya dwani takani haila. When Mahaprabhu gave this benediction to Mukunda that he would appear along with the Lord and render his eternal service of singing whenever the Lord would appear, when all the Vaishnava Mandala heard that benediction from the Lord, then they all said, Jai, 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 Dwani. And we say Prem Dwani, Niti Lila Parishtom, that's called Prem Dwani. So when the Lord awarded this benediction to Mukunda, a tumultuous sound of joy was heard everywhere. Maha Jai Jai Dwani Takani Haila. Hari Bola, Hari Bola Jaya Jagannath. Hari Bali Nivedaya Judi Dui Hata. Everyone folded their hands as they chanted, Hari, Hari, Hari Bol Jai Jagannath. Mukundera Stutibara Shuni Jai Jana. Se Mukundera Sane Haiba Gayana. Anyone who hears Mukunda's prayers and the benediction awarded to him will become a singer with him. We'll just see. Vrindavan Das Thakur is giving us a great benediction. If anyone has heard, anyone who's been here the last few days and heard these classes about Mukunda and his prayers to Lord Chaitanya, then he will get a benediction from Vrindavan Das Thakur. The benediction is that he will be a singer. So don't feel bad if you can't lead a kirtan. If you can't lead a kirtan now and don't have a good voice, Vrindavan Das Thakur is giving us all a blessing that we will sing. We'll have Prem Bhakti Dila Kantaswari. We'll have a very beautiful Prem filled voice, and we'll be singing right alongside Mukunda Das in Nitya Navadvip, and Navadvip Leela. Vrindavan Das Thakur is giving that Shruti fall or fall Shruti. At the end of this chapter, as Vedavyas Vrindavan Das, Vedavyas at the end of different chapters, or Adhyaya, of Bhagavatam, he gives Shrutifal, benedictions. If anyone has heard this chapter, he will get this particular blessing. So I think in Gajendra Moksha, at the end of Gajendra Moksha, in 8th chapter, it says, anyone who chants this chapter upon rising in the morning, he'll be free from the fear of ghosts, boots and prates and pishachas, He'll be free from the influence. So many benediction, blessing chapters. So that same Vedavyas came 500 years ago as Vrindavan Das Thakur. He lived in Mamagachi, which is one of the islands, maybe Modudrum Dweep or whatever. Mamagachi. And he wrote this Chaitanya Bhagavat. So he again is giving this blessing that we will become great singers to sing along with Mukunda. E sava Chaitanya kata vedera nigud subudhi manaye iha na manaye mudha. Topics of Lord Chaitanya are confidential to the Vedas. Intelligent people accept them, whereas fools deny them. So in other words, Chaitanya Katha, Gaur Katha, is very secret and confidential. It's not found in the Vedas, Shrutis and Smritis. Bhagavat Puran, 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj says, he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Chana Avatar. Chana means he's hidden. He's not revealed very clearly. So obviously, even the identity or the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quite concealed, a very hidden fact in the Vedas, Shrutis and Smritis. But what to speak of his leelas? So Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, the Vedas, you won't find these leelas there. And fools, people that are foolish, they think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only a Bengali saint, a social reformer. Like professors, modern professors, they say, Sri Chaitanya, a medieval Bengali saint and social reformer. Social reformer. This means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought religion to the people. He was a Brahmin, but he didn't only mix up with Brahmins. He went to the people, he went to the rickshaw wallahs, he went to the fishermen, he went to the street people. He said, everyone come together. Forget about ashram, varna, everyone come together, glorify the Lord. Sankirtan, it's for everyone, for one and for all. For men, for ladies, for young, for the old, for the Brahmins, for the Shudras, everyone. Unity. Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. We are different, yes, we have different varnas, we have different ashramas, but we are one. The oneness is we are Jivera Surupaya, Krishna or Nityadas. We are all Krishna Das. Govi Bhartu Padakamlayor Das Das and Adas. Come, all the Dasas come. Glorify Bhagavan. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu himself spoke this verse from Brihadaranyaka Puran. And he gives a purport on it. This verse is so important. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam. Kalo Anasteva, Anasteva, Anasteva. Gattiranyata. There is no other way, not by Varnashram Dharma. This is external. Not by Sarva Dharma Pritya, that is external. You read in Rai Ramananda Samvag. Rai Ramananda Samvag, Madhya Lila, chapter 8. The questions and answers of Srin Mahaprabhu and Rai Ramananda. Lord Chaitanya is saying, Agokaro, Agokaro, Agokaro. Go higher, go further. How to attain perfection? Lord Chaitanya said, how do you attain perfection? By Varna and Ashram. Then Ramananda Roy said, oh, by strictly observing your varna karma and ashram karma. Observe strictly the duties of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and Brahmachari. Then this is you can attain perfection of human life. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he said, Agokara. Go further. This is external. This is not the thing. This is not the answer. Then he said, Karmarpanam, and this and that. Then he said, the way to attain perfection is Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Sarva Dharman Prityaja Mamekam Shara. Lord Chaitanya said, no. Bhagavad Gita is external. Huh? What? Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is external? Agokara? Go further? Go higher? This is Sarva Dharman. This is right there, chapter 8. Chaitanya. He said, yes, this is external. Go higher. Because then again, there's some calculation. You're surrendering because you want freedom from sins. You're surrendering because you want that protection. But in this pure unalloyed bhakti, ahoituki bhakti, we don't want anything. Janmani, janmani, bhavatad bhakti, ahoituki tui. I don't want mukti. Back to Godhead in one sense is Salokya Mukti. I want out. We heard the class the other day. I want out. I want Mukti. I want Bukti. Bukti Mukti. Pishacha. Bukti Mukti Pishacha. They're like two witches. Bukti and Mukti. Spriha. We only want to save us. So then he went higher and higher and came into this Braj Bhakti. It was Braj Bhakti. And so this is Lord Chaitanya. He's teaching everyone. Do kirtan. So yes, he's a social reformer. But actually, these are the fools that only say, oh, he's a social reformer, he's a medieval saint. They can't accept the godhood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, they can't accept the Leela. They can't accept that Chaitanya Bhagavat is written by Veda Vyas. They can't accept that the Leela of Chaitanya Bhagavat is transcendental, Divya Leela. That this is Bhagavan's Leela. So when Navandas Thakur is addressing them, he's saying the topics of Lord Chaitanya are nigudha. Nigudha. Gudha, niguda, very extremely confidential. Vedera niguda, they're hidden. This is the secret Veda. And fools deny them. Na maniye mudha. Na man mudha. Man means regard. Like we say manina, manidina. Man means they have no respect. Na man mudha. The fools have no respect for Chaitanya Leela. They say he's a madman. He had epilepsy. He had a derangement in his life errors. He had a Vata Rog. Vata Rog. He had a... Rog means disease. Rogi, Bogi, and Yogi, right? Prabhupada uses this term, Rogi. Rogi, Bogi, or Yogi. Or Prabhupada would say, Jogi. In Bengali, you say, Jogi. And Jogi, Rogi, or Bogi. So they he said, oh, this Sri Chaitanya has Vata Rog. He has a disease of the air, so he's trembling. He's always trembling all the time. And he can't speak properly. He's saying, gong, 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 gong. Jaga, gaga, jaga, gaga. He can't speak. Is something wrong with his vata? You should rub oil on his head. They were prescribing different dawa and medicines and different pandits in Mayapur, different homeopathic doctors and vaidyas were prescribing medicine to Sachimata. Oh, Sachimata, your son is pagal. Your son is pagal. He's ekdam murk. He's crazy. You should put tail on his head. Tail karke. Malish kardo. He's crazy. She said, oh, you think he's crazy? I don't know. I don't think he's crazy. He's my Nimai. He's my Sachinandan. So this is the mudas, they can't. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says, these people, these fools, they have no access. But those who do believe, what happens? Shrinilaye sabakata jarahaya sukha avashya dekibe se chaitanyara mukha. One who gets pleasure by hearing these topics will certainly see Lord Chaitanya face to face. This is a very interesting closing on the whole discussion, because the discussion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving, the teaching that Lord Chaitanya was giving to Mukunda Das and to all of us, is that one can only see the Lord with the eyes of devotion and service. Even if the Lord is directly standing in front of him, he will not see him, like the washerman. The washerman in Mathura, he saw Krishna face to face. But he thought, hey, you upstart, why are you demanding the clothes of my King Kamsa? So he didn't understand. This is Bhagavan. This is God. This is my very source, my very maintainer standing before me. I should give him everything. Mantan Dan, Krishna Samarpan. But he said, he denied him. He said, hey, get lost, don't touch these clothes. I'll tell the king on you. He thought he was an ordinary cow. He thought he was some gwal, some chora. Some Braj Chora had come to Mathura. Chora, you know Chora? Young boy. He's a young boy. How old is he? How old is Krishna? When he met the washerman, how old is he? He's a big full-grown man? He's 10 years, 8 months. He's a kid. Like you see these kids running around in Mayapur. He's a little kid. Like a little kid. 10 years old. 10 years, 8, 7 months, something like this. Not even 11. Washerman is some big adult, big mustache, big dobi wala. A mustache, big fat guy, you know, these Dobiwalas, they're pretty, fat guys that are pounding cloth all day. Tong, 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 tong. Big fat arms, big belly. Big load of clothes. Maybe had a donkey or something with a load of clothes on a donkey. Gutta. And this little boy comes up. Oh, sir, can I have your clothes? Hey, these are King Kansa's clothes. So he was seeing the Lord face to face, but he couldn't. He had no bhakti. No unalloyed devotion. He was just a servant of a demon. So whoever you serve, you take on the qualities of. You serve a great person, you become great. You serve a demon, you become demoniac. So the washerman was serving a demon. So he took on the color, like crystal takes on the color of its the nearest object. So while you're serving, you're washing the clothes of Kamsa, you're working for Kamsa, you're getting paid by Kamsa. Then you get Kamsa Bhav. You become envious of God. You become an Ari, Krishna Ari, enemy of Krishna. So then, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining this to Mukunda, that if one wants to see me, he has to have devotion. So then Vrindavan Das Thakur, he brings us back to that point in closing the story. He's saying, if anyone gets pleasure by hearing these topics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I've written in Chaitanya Bhagavat, then what is another shruti fall? What is another benediction he will receive? He will get to see, he will get the blessing of seeing Lord Chaitanya face to face. Just see. Because the very act of sitting here and hearing, it's called Shravana Dasha. Shravana Dasha, the very act of sitting and hearing here is bhakti. This is bhakti. This is unalloyed bhakti. We're giving our time to hear and chant about Krishna. Together, in Mayapur Dham. This is pleasing Vrindavan Das Thakur. This is pleasing Gauranga, pleasing Guru. This is devotional service. Or if you're sitting at home, you're reading this book at home. So you're doing devotional service. So then you get the blessing. Krishna's happy. He'll reveal himself. So Vrindavan Das is encouraging us. He's saying, you want to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu face to face? Do you want to have Sakshat Darshan with Gauranga? It is not very difficult. Simply read Chaitanya Bhagavat. And by, one day, Mahaprabhu will come out, because namano, binatvam namanamano, there's no difference between a name and that which is named. Chaitanya Bhagavat is full of the name of Gauranga and Chaitanya and Gaur. So the name and binatvam namanamano, there's no difference between a name and that who is named. The rupam and the namam. Namam, rupam, gunam, lilam. They're all transcendental. So one day we'll be reading this book about Chaitanya. And all of a sudden Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come out of the book. And we'll see Lord Chaitanya. How is it? He's like this. And downstairs he's like this. He's like this. Like they have in this children's story books called Aladdin's Lamp. They have some brass lamp. And you rub the lamp. You know, it's a children's story. You rub the lamp and then genie comes out. Genie is like some kind of yaksha. Genie's like a yaksha. Kubera's yakshas. So you rub the lamp and this genie comes out. He says, yes, I am your servant. You are my master. Kya chahiye? What do you want? What do you want? Your wish is my command. Whatever you want, I will do it. You know, they have this story. You rub the lamp, then this person comes out of the lamp. So if we rub the Chaitanya Bhagavat, if we rub the Chaitanya Bhagavat on our eyes, we rub the Chaitanya Bhagavat on our eyes, then who will come out of the Chaitanya Bhagavat? This magic lantern. This magic lantern, this magic pot of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya will come out. And this is called Shraddhanvita. Shraddhanvita. It's called Shraddha. Shastriya Shraddha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Jiva Dharma that this is the basis of Kanishtha Adhikari. A Kanishtha, but to speak of Madhyam Uttam, a Kanishtha Adhikar, the beginning devotee, neophyte devotee, there's one thing that's very, very developed. There's one quality that's very developed in a Kanishtha Adhikara. That is the quality of Shastriya Shraddha. He has firm faith and confidence in the Shastras. He believes in the Shastra. He accepts them. He has confidence in the Shastra. He believes them. He accepts them. He has confidence in them. He has trust in them. Because faith means love and trust. I trust that these Shastras will bring me to the perfection, the prayojan. And these Shastras will create a favorable situation in my life by which love of God can manifest, which prema bhakti can descend into my heart. These Shastras are providing the teaching and the way and the path. I have that faith. And in 10th canto, chapter 33, verse 39, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that this ridrogam, he says, para bhakti labhyate, para bhakti labhyate ridrogam kamam, achirena diryat. He says that by hearing the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, para bhakti labhyate. Para bhakti labhyate and ridrogam kamam achirena. He said, first, when we hear about the pastimes of Krishna, and especially the Rasa Panchadaya, this is the five chapters of Rasa Dance, because this verse comes in chapter 33 of 10th canto, verse 39. He says, if one hears this with shraddha anvita, means with concentrated faith, with pure faith, shastriya shraddha, faith in the shastra, faith in the Bhagavatam, then the fruit of that faith, the result of that faith will be that parabhakti labhyate. He will gain parabhakti. Parabhakti means a special type of bhakti, a transcendental bhakti. All bhakti is transcendental. Bhakti is completely alaukik. It is alaukik. It is transcendental. It is not produced of this world. It is not coming from this world. It is coming from Krishna, from the hearts of the eternal associates and liberated souls, the premi bhaktas. It is coming from Goloka, from Premdham. Premdham Mayapur, Premdham Vrindavan. This is the origin. Prema is not produced in the material world. Bhakti. It's transcendental. Ladini Shakti, Samvit Shakti. So, this faith, one has faith that yes, this para bhakti that comes is a very special type of bhakti. All bhakti is transcendental. So why is it saying para bhakti? The para bhakti that comes by studying the 10th canto of Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavatam is the braja para bhakti, the braja prem. The prem that's being described in the previous five chapters. Chapter 29 through 33 describes gopika prem, the prem of the braja gopis. If one is shraddha anvita, has full faith in the Shastra, in Shukadeva Goswami, in Vyasadeva, in Srimad Bhagavatam, then when he studies Bhagavatam, this type of braja prema will come in the heart first. Para bhakti labhyate. Then the second part of the verse is, kamam ridrogam achirena diryat. That this heart disease, ridrog, heart disease of what? Of lust. The intense desire to enjoy the material energy, calm, this will go away. First is bhakti, this rich flavor, this concentrated essence of devotion will come into the mind and saturate the heart and fill the heart, and that will chase out, it will displace the calm. The gold of prema will displace the iron of calm. Example. If you have a glass, full of black ink, some black ink, like for a printer or something, some black ink. Now that's 200 milliliter glass, small glass of ink. Now you have 3 liter can full of milk, and you start pouring that milk into that glass of black ink. What will happen to the black ink? It's very obvious, very simple. It will become displaced. You'll become so much milk will go in the cup, and all the black ink will come out, and then the cup will be full of milk, and all the ink will be on the floor. The milk will chase out the ink, will remove the ink. So the ink, in this analogy, the ink is kamam ridrogam, heart disease of lust. This is the blackness. This is the darkness. the dark corner of our hearts, the blackness in our minds. The darkness in our hearts is the darkness of lust. So this milk, this pure milk, is Harikata, Tavakatamritam. In Ayurvedic Shastra, they describe milk, dude, is called Amritam. Because milk gives life. It extends life, it preserves life, and is also the anupam for dawa. It is the medium by which medicine is carried into the cells of the body. Through milk, through ghee, or through misri. There's three anupams in Ayurvedic medicine. You mix misri with the Ayurvedic medicine, or you mix ghee, or you mix milk. It's called kashaya. South India is called kashaya. So this milk is called amritam. Tavakatamritam taptajivanam. So the life of a devotee comes from this amrit. And the amrit is like the milk in the analogy. So the milk is harikata, harikatamritam. Milk is amrit. It gives immortality in one sense. Of course, it's still the body's material. But the milk of harikata, that pure milk, this gives real immortality. Because we enter Sridham Vrindavan, Sridham Mayapur, eternally. When this prema bhakti comes in the heart, all this other goes out, all the ink goes out, and our heart becomes pure, becomes white, called Paramahams. So this is the benediction that Vrindavan Das Thakur is giving us, that we will see Lord Chaitanya face to face if we take pleasure in hearing the topics of Chaitanya Bhagavat and the eternal Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that concludes our class. If any brief question, we have like 1 minute or so. Yes. You say we started the process of Krishna Bhakti, but there's still some background, some residual dirt in our mind. So then the question is, why is it there? Well, keep as they say. And it's almost like the answer this morning that someone asked about material desires. They come and go and say, well, they'll keep coming, they'll keep going. A very nice answer. As long as they keep going and don't stay. They come and they go, that's good. So the same thing, material contamination, Chaito Dharvana Marjana. We continue the process and the purity comes more, the bhakti comes more, and the contamination comes less. That you'll see yourself directly. Day after day, week after week, year after year. It's a science, as Prabhupada said. If all the elements and all the activities are rightly adjusted and rightly performed, then we get the correct result. And you see all around us, you see so many very advanced devotees, Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, because they applied the process, they surrendered. It's all based on Sharanagati and faith. Because bhakti is based on continual surrender. It never stops. It begins with surrender and it's sustained by surrender. The beginning of bhakti is surrender. Guru Pada Shraya. Sharanagati. And it begins with surrender, it's sustained by surrender, and it's fulfilled by surrender. Sharanagati is the very lifeblood of bhakti. When the surrender stops, then the bhakti stops. The development and growth of bhakti is proportionate to the degree of surrender. And everyone knows what that means. It's all individual. Surrender is an individual ticket. Surrender is cut individually. You take scissors and you cut your cloth individually. Everyone's shirt or choli is cut according to your size. They put the darts here and the darts there and they pull the cloth here. Everyone has their own size. So surrender is cut to the size of each devotee. It's like this. Some other question? Yes. It says in the third canto of Bhagavatam, described by Kunti, it says there are men and there are women, but there's no children. There's husbands and wives. By Kunti, there's no children. And Vrindavan, there's no one. If no one goes produces children there, who's ever the children, the gopas and gwals, they're all eternally existing there. There's no new children taking birth over there or appearing there. Children in the sense of Balya Leela. In other words, Jiva Goswami explains the material world, Krishna takes birth, there's the Janma Utsav, then there's growing up. These are some special features of this Gokul in this Boma Vrindavan. But in the spiritual world, Krishna is he's eternally 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days, one scripture tells. So he doesn't grow up there. There's no janma, there's no birth of Krishna in the spiritual world. There's no growing up. Poganda Leela, Bali Leela. That's what Jiva Goswami says. And then some commentators say there's different compartments, parakoshtas. There's some parakoshtas where there's just Krishna as Bala Gopal. But the Krishna we worship is Navayovanam, Nitya Kishore. We worship Radha and Krishna. We worship Krishna at the age of 15. This is his eternal age. We don't worship Krishna at 4 years old and 5 years old. This is all these pastimes, this is going on in Boma Vrindavan. For example, it says that if one, say, for example, if someone is following Raghunuga Bhakti Sadhana, advanced devotee, Vaidhi Sadhana, then Raghunuga Sadhana, then he comes to the level of Bhava Bhakti. And the Guru may give initiation into the Siddhadeha. So he will tell you, not all, but most, if you're, say, in Manjari Bhav or Madhurya Bhav, mostly, because in order to nourish or serve Radharani's Parakiya Bhav, the Manjaris and Sakhis must also be in Parakiya Bhav. So to have Parakiya Bhav, the Acharyas are saying, one must have a husband. So one will take birth in Boma Vrindavan from the womb of a gopi. This is also described in Gita Mala by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's in a series of songs called Siddhi Lalasa. One will take birth in Boma Vrindavan, Krishna's Boma Leela, from the womb of a gopi, and he'll have a female form if they're in Madhurya Bhav, Stayi Bhava Madhurya Ras, for example. This is at perfection. You attain prema, Surav Siddhi, then take birth. Now you're a gopi, you grow up and you get married. You have one gopa, becomes your husband. But you never really spend any time with him. You're always running at night. He's always in the barn, just like Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is always in the goshala, taking care of the cows. There's a sick cow or a calf is being born. He never once spends any time with Radharani. They see each other in passing. There's never any contact. So Manjaris will have a husband, but there's no children. Just like we can ask the question, in Vaikuntha, who is the mother of Lord Narayan? Who is the father of Lord Narayan? Who are the friends of Lord Narayan? Because in Vaikuntha, there's no Vatsalya Ras. In Vaikuntha, there's no Sakya Ras. You can say Daruka's his friend, but Daruka's actually in Dasya. There's like Shantaras, Dasya Ras, and some conjugal Ras of Lakshmi, but it's almost like Dasya, because she's mostly doing Malish. But there's no description of any children in Vaikuntha or Goloka. So one, it's a background, there's some background. So if someone, say someone's in Sakiras, then they'll go and they'll become a coward boy. That's it. Eternally, they'll eternally be 14 years old, 15, like that. Is that clear? This is how it's told. I never read anywhere in any scripture about children in Vaikuntha. There's no children. There's no children other than the coward boys. You can say they're children. They're 14. Navayovanam, Subal, Sridham, they're all the same age as Krishna. Some are a little older, a few months older. Some are a little younger. And it's given Sanat Kumara Samhita is telling 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days is Krishna's eternal age. Not 7, not 5, not 4. And he's exhibiting the characteristics of like someone who's 18, I mean, he's fully grown personality at that age. Because in Padma Puran it says when Krishna is on this planet, exalted persons exhibit the maturity 1.5 times the normal rate. Just like sometimes we see a 10-year-old boy or something with a mustache. He's younger. At first he's younger, but he already has a mustache. And the other boys don't have a mustache till they're 12 or 13 or whatever. So when Krishna was 10 years old, or say for example the Rasa dance, the first Rasa dance, Krishna was 8. 8 years old. I think it was 8. And the gopis were 7. Because he stole their clothes when they were 6, and a year later, 7. Gopi Vastraharana. So Krishna was 8 years old. So 8 years old, Rasa dance. But the formula is that he was 8 plus a half. So 8 plus 4 means 12. Because he was exhibiting the maturity. Maturity means growing up. Of one, 1.5 times. His age was 8, but his body, his maturity was 12. So he's like a teenager. So you know teenagers can get in a lot of trouble. Is it right? Any mothers here? Can teenagers get in trouble? No? Yes? We also were teenagers, no? Remember? We were also teenagers. We were also 14, 15. And did we get in trouble? Did we get in trouble? No. No. Us? No. So Krishna, he didn't get any trouble. Maybe, I can say. So it's like this. And Radharani, what's Radharani's eternal age? 14 years, 2 months, 15 days. If you want to be specific. This almost sounds like little children. When you ask little children, how old are you? I'm 4.5. Or 4 years and 3 months. They're very particular. So this is okay. We laugh at it, but even Radharani and Krishna are the same way. Krishna is 15 years, 9 months, 7.5. 7.5 days. That's how exact. That half a day is very important. Because some other coward boy may be 15 years, 9 months, and 7 days. And Krishna can say, hey, I'm a half day older. Because Krishna is so proud. Krishna is so boastful and so proud, has so much money, that he'll be proud of, I'm a half day older than you. I'm a half day older than you, so watch out. So Krishna is like this. So, Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai.